down the side, so that you would notice it from whichever direction you were coming. The two inscriptions were prevented from meeting in the middle by a Victorian clock which was mounted above the front door and which had come to a stop, perhaps appropriately, at 11:59, 1 minute to midnight. Beneath the name, again printed twice, was the legend, "Independent Funeral Directors, a family business since 1820. There were three windows looking out over the street, two of them curtained, the third empty but for an open book made of marble, engraved with a quotation, "When sorrows come, they come not single spies, but in battalions." All the wood, the window frames, the frontage, the main door, was painted a dark blue, nudging black. As Mrs. Cooper opened the door, a bell on an old-fashioned spring mechanism sounded loudly, once. She found herself in a small reception area with two sofas, a low table, and a few shelves with books that had that peculiar sense of sadness that comes with being unread. A staircase led up to the other floors. A narrow corridor stretched ahead. Almost at once, a woman appeared, stout, with thick legs and heavy black leather shoes, coming down the stairs. She was smiling pleasantly, politely. The smile acknowledged that this was a delicate, painful business, but that it would be expedited with calm and efficiency. Her name was Irene Laws. She was the personal assistant to Robert Cornwallis, the funeral director, and also acted as his receptionist.
"Good morning, can I help you?" she asked.
"Yes, I would like to arrange a funeral."
"Are you here on behalf of someone who's died recently?"
The word "died" was instructive. Not passed away, not deceased. She had made it her business practice to speak plainly, recognising that, at the end of the day, it was less painful for all concerned.
"No,"
Mrs. Cooper replied.
"It's for myself."
"I see."
Irene Laws didn't blink. And why should she? It was not at all uncommon for people to arrange their own funerals.
"Do you have an appointment?"
she asked.
"No, I didn't know I'd need one."
"I'll see if Mr. Cornwallis is free. Please take a seat. Would you like a cup of tea or coffee?"
"No, thank you."
Diana Cooper sat down. Irene Laws disappeared down the corridor, reappearing a few minutes later behind a man who so exactly suited the image of the funeral director that he could have been playing the part. There was, of course, the obligatory dark suit and sombre tie, but the very way he stood seemed to suggest that he was apologising for having to be there. His hands were clasped together in a gesture of profound regret. His face was crumpled, mournful, not helped by hair that had thinned to the edge of baldness and a beard that had the look of a failed experiment. He wore tinted spectacles that were sinking into the bridge of his nose, not just framing his eyes, but masking them. He was about 40 years old. He, too, was smiling.
"Good morning," he said. "My name is Robert Cornwallis. I understand you wish to discuss a funeral plan with us."
"Yes."
"You've been offered coffee or tea? Please come this way."
The new client was taken down the corridor to a room at the end. This was as understated as the reception area, with one difference. Instead of books, there were folders and brochures which, if opened, would show images of coffins, hearses, traditional or horse-drawn, and price lists. A number of urns had been arranged on two shelves should the discussion veer towards cremation. Two armchairs faced each other, one beside a small desk. Cornwallis sat here. He took out a pen, a silver Mont Blanc, and rested it on a notepad.
"The funeral is your own," he began.
"Yes."
Suddenly Mrs. Cooper was brisk, wanting to get straight to the point.
"I have already given some consideration to the details. I take it you have no problem with that."
"On the contrary, individual requirements are important to us. These days, pre-planned funerals and what you might call bespoke or themed funerals are very much the mainstay of our business. It is our privilege to provide exactly what our clients demand. After our discussion here, and assuming our terms are acceptable to you, we will provide you with a full invoice and breakdown of what has been agreed. Your relatives and friends will have nothing to do except, of course, to attend. And from our experience, I can assure you that it will give them great comfort to know that everything has been done exactly in accordance with your wishes." Mrs. Cooper nodded.
"Excellent. Well, let's get down to it, shall we?"
She took a breath, then dived straight in.
"I want to be buried in a cardboard coffin."
Cornwallis was about to make his first note. He paused,